lived in Franklin to come to on Sundays to be with everyone. And I truly miss you guys, those of you that I know. And it's good to see you again. And welcome to those of you that I have not met before. And we're so glad you're here. And also, I don't change everyone's life. I hope we just have a really, really nice time together. And we're going to look at some wonderful things we can do to really go the entire nine yards in our lives. And I see that you've had some great speakers here this summer, and the congregation is growing again, and there's some wonderful improvements we can see, and it's all good, as they say. So now I have to tell you all is well in Asheville, and I have to Beverly mentioned, I'm a full-time fiber artist. I'm with the Southern Highland Guild, and there's a lot of demonstrating and teaching through that connection. And I'm just sort of, I feel like I'm pushing my life towards going maybe the whole nine yards of possibilities. And we'll touch on that a little bit later. So, but as most of you that know me know, we're going to start on a lighter note, and I have to tell you what happened last week in Asheville. There was a 54-year-old woman. She had a heart attack. It was real serious. She was taken to Mission Memorial Hospital, and on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. Oh, and she asked God, "Is my time up?" And God said, "Oh, no, you have 43 years, 8 months, and 16 days to live." And she was, whew. So upon recovery, she decided to go all out. And she had a facelift, liposuction, breast implants, and a tummy tuck. And then she changed her hair color. She had her teeth whitened. I mean, she absolutely went the whole nine yards. She really enjoyed it, had a great time. Last time she was at the doctor's office, she went out in the parking lot and stepped right in front of an ambulance. And her death was quick and painless. Now she is before God and she says, "I thought you told me I had 43 more years to live." And you know what God said? God looked at her and he said, "Gee, I guess I just didn't recognize you." So this lady went the whole nine yards. And this talk, really, the topic was inspired by a friend of mine during the last fiber arts show, the big summer show at the Cellular Center in Asheville. We were sitting together having lunch, and her and her husband had come back from Scotland, and she said, "Oh, I finally learned the meaning of that expression we use all the time, the whole nine yards." And I said, "Oh, tell, do tell." And she said, "Well, in Scotland, a really, really good and proper kilt takes 9 yards of tartan material. Those are the expensive ones. However, a lot of times people try to get away with, or for economical reasons, only use 5 to 6 yards." And she said, "But I could tell the difference." So this, I thought, this is great. Isn't this like life? Because sometimes we do, and we go the whole nine yards, and we do it right, and sometimes we go 5 or 6 yards, right? So, Arthur, I always enjoy your newsletters, and in this last one, Arthur writes about acceptance. So I got to thinking, acceptance is the first step to change and possible changed behavior. And we can accomplish that change once we realize that we do not live our lives to our full potential all the time in every area. And we can consciously thrive to go the extra yard once we blend that awareness and a little bit of effort. And we all know the direction we need to go when it comes to effort. There's a Chinese proverb. Man stands for a long time with mouth open before a roast duck flies in. So I think that is so true. You know, very often we stand with mouths open and nothing happens. So it's good to remember and to refocus on the knowledge that we are one with our Creator. And that keeps us in a positive frame of mind. And we can never go the whole nine yards unless we are in a positive frame of mind. And there are enough negative people around. I know you know people that have a problem for every solution. They're everywhere, right? So to stay in a positive consciousness is really important. It isn't always easy, but there are tools to work on that goal. A couple of weeks ago, Dave's brother and his wife were visiting, and we went to see a lady named Andrea Zahn. She's a fiddler. She plays beautiful, it's sort of country folk blended music, and she's a great musician and composer. And she sang one of her songs, and this really got my attention, Heads Up for the Wrecking Ball. And I thought, wow, what a title. And I pulled out my little notepad, and I wrote down Heads Up for the Wrecking Ball. And the words describe the transformation by changing her thought process and awareness that she has the right to give herself the best life ever. And don't we all have that? It's just so hard to actually go through with it in everything that we do to remember how to do it. It is proven that an affirmative, positive thought is 100 times more powerful than a negative one. So if we provide that positive input, the universe will respond. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. It happens all the time. So we can create and manifest the whole nine yards for our lives. Mahatma Gandhi sums it up beautifully. I love this. Your belief becomes your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values, and your values become your destiny. Wow, that is such a powerful statement, and it shows what a ripple effect we can create by starting with a positive thought. And that, of course, helps with our daily attitude. Just some positive thoughts make our attitude in general they give our attitude a different approach. Like I remember Mother Teresa said, I'm not against war, I'm just for peace. Think about just the way she formed her words to be for something. Because, and I know you've heard this before, if you resist, it persists. Or if you keep going on a negative thought, it just sticks around. In fact, I even remember I was in Walmart and there was a person I was trying very hard not to run into. And I was going this way and that way and looking around the counter and I was like, and then I go up to the cash register and she's right there. So this is a very good example of don't resist, just go with it, and it will be all right if we have a positive thought around it. That also applies to talk of lack, illness. Don't you love to be in a group of people that just goes on forever and ever and ever about lack and illness? So try to detach. I found that it helps to be compassionate. By all means, we do need to listen. We do need to be compassionate. But I have this little white picket fence right here. And there are people and circumstances that are, when you say close to my heart, they're on this side of the fence. Dave is on this side of the fence. I tell him that every once in a while. But there are circumstances and people that are on the other side of the fence. I do not give them the power to jump that fence. And that fence is built on a positive attitude, on awareness, on good thoughts, and a constant reminder of that ripple effect that can come from my heart and jump over that fence. And that's not selfish, it's just feels good to go in that direction towards the whole nine yards of quality of our lives. Now, but I also like positive affirmations. When the phone rings, I say, thank you for good news. We go to the mailbox, I say, it's going to be good news. And we start our day with the affirmation. I do all things easily, perfectly, on time, and in order. And how can you go wrong when you set yourself up for a positive day? Dave has a wonderful thing that we do with all of our friends. He says, have an out-of-sight dynamite day. Or you ask him how he is. He might have said that to some of you. I'm out of sight dynamite. I think that's cool. I mean, how can you feel bad when somebody tells you that, right? And the easiest thing to do, of course, is smile. Smiling has a good ripple effect too, right? So we all know that we have the right to enjoy the journey through life and every moment of the present. And Carl Jung, who's one of my favorite people, he says, most of us don't have permission to live our own lives. This can't be given. It has to be taken. Whoever fails to adapt to this principle will pay with damage to the soul. Maybe that's why there's so many troubled people around. And if they could accept some positive vibes, maybe their lives would be so much better. And there's an opportunity to spill over with that ripple effect to maybe give some positive vibes to people around us that we know are unhappy for one reason or another, and to help them feel better. In fact, and this really is reflected by what happened on Friday and what Kay just said. In fact, the state of peace on this planet would greatly improve if more of God's children went the extra mile by accepting each other. Would they not? It's not always easy to know that we truly are one. Us here, we know this. And if we include and accept other people and other cultures as God's children, it would make this world a much better place. But unfortunately, many of our leaders or so-called leaders or people that they think they're leaders, they do not agree with that, and they don't set a very good example. However, again, each one of us has that choice and that possibility of the positive ripple effect to make the world a little bit of a better place. So that's what we can do to start a little bit more peace in our direct environment. William James, he's one of my favorite writers, especially when I started to study comparative religion. He says, at bottom, the whole concern of religion is with the manner of our acceptance of the universe. So if we could just accept each other and pepper it with understanding and love and goodwill, gee, you know, the world would be a better place. But we each one have the power to start that, and the ripple effect will increase. We do know that. So to recap that, we have one creator, God's love and the desire for brotherhood and peace. All holy books, prophets, and master teachers agree on those values. And how the different religions act on that belief, that's another story. But we can find and celebrate the values we share. And then world peace really can start in every human being. Thanksgiving is coming up, and I found that Thanksgiving is, giving thanks is a concept that you find in all of religious beliefs. In one fashion or another, giving thanks is a thing that we do. So this is one value that we can celebrate as having in common. And it is a great opportunity that gives us the whole nine yards, especially with the holidays coming up. So holidays is sort of a sticky word, because I know that in Asheville many people got upset that the merchants changed from saying Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays. Now think about it. There's Hanukkah, there's Kwanzaa, there are many other holidays along with Christmas. So personally, I don't have a problem with saying Happy Holidays, because you celebrate your holidays the way you do, and we do, and it doesn't matter. It's a celebration. It's a good thing. So that is another example of commonality, something that we all share. And if we have that positive attitude towards the holidays, that also makes us more generous. And isn't that what Christmas and the holidays are all about? We're being asked to give. No other time are we asked to be more generous than the time that's coming up now. So, here is an opportunity to go the whole nine yards and to give and to be generous. Even if we could get away with 5 yards or less, I think it would be great to go the whole nine yards. Picasso, one of my favorite artists, beautiful painter like Kay. Picasso said, the meaning of life is to find your gift. And the purpose of life is to give it away. So here, our gift, our generosity, or you can think about what the gift is that you can give away. We all have one, and it's not necessarily monetary. Monetary is nice, but boy, we have talents and gifts to share. So think about that. All advancement to go the whole nine yards starts on a very personal level, starting with changing our thought process, our attitude, positive affirmations, and more acceptance and awareness of all of God's children. And most of all, there are many things that we need to do for ourselves. It's not selfish. It is absolutely vital. And many of us are taught when we grow up that it's very selfish to do things for ourselves. Oh, you know, you just, it's terrible to be selfish. Well, I certainly changed my thought process once I understood the importance of taking care of myself. So I read the other day, and I really like this. There's an article by Jackie Dobrinska, and she has sort of a formula to get out of any personal negativity, and I like this. She says, catch self-criticism. No. Focus on all of your positive attitudes. Yes. Minimize comparisons. No. Nourish yourself. Yes. Focus your energy into creativity. To me, the most important one is nourish yourself. And even in the Bible, this is one of my favorite examples that I used with my young people when I was teaching for Southwestern Community College. Young mothers, pregnant, burning the candles at both ends, taking care of everybody, working a minimum wage job, and just crying, nothing for myself. They completely kind of disappeared. And I would sit them down and tell them that their cup cannot run over unless it's full. So this is your number one that I want you to think about today, if you need to think in that direction. Fill your cup with whatever is necessary so it can run over. It will not and cannot run over at all unless it is full. Remember in the airplane, they tell you to pull down the oxygen mask for yourself first. So it makes sense to take care of us. We have the obligation to take care of our body temple, of our mind, of that beautiful blessing that we are, so that we can then share, create a ripple effect, and live our lives the whole nine yards. And sometimes that takes some getting used to realize that we have the right and the obligation to do that. You can tell I feel passionate about that one. And that means that we live our lives more fully through creative experiences. And Kay and I were just talking about, often later in life, people allow themselves to go the extra yard and become artists and writers and sculptors and whatever floats your boat. And let's face it, very often that has economic reasons. There's a time we have to work, but remember Grandma Moses? She said, now it's my turn, and she painted. So if you possibly can, build some creativity into your life. Don't wait until retirement, but for goodness sakes, I was going to say for God's sakes, it's okay. For God's sakes, just do it. You know, be yourself and express yourself creatively. Emerson, I love Emerson. Most of you, I know, love Emerson. We are the universe made alive. My favorite purpose is to create and explore. We are co-creators of our purpose. We have chosen to be the hands, feet, eyes, ears, voice, and the heart of God. He gives us a never-ending supply and ideas to give expression to our divine potential and our authentic self. So there it is. If Emerson says it, you know that it is absolutely good enough for us, right? Now, I remember when I made the decision after I retired to move to Franklin and to be a full-time fiber artist. Sometimes those decisions can be scary, right? You think about that and you say, oh boy, you know, what am I going to do now? Which direction am I going into? But we need to give ourselves permission to be the very best that we can be. And we can actively create the right circumstances to be that best that we can be. And sometimes It's an inch at a time. And you know your inch that you have to take. Sometimes it's baby steps. But just do it, because the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. So however small that step is, go towards that fulfillment of creativity and towards the full 9 yards that God intended you to have and to be. Another one of my favorite people is Albert Einstein. In fact, we have a picture of him on a bookshelf. And he says, imagination is more important than knowledge. Whoa, that's a big one, isn't it? Imagination is more important than knowledge. Now, a little knowledge can be dangerous, it can be good. There are a lot of points of view about accumulated knowledge, but it's nothing without imagination. So let your mind soar, give yourself the freedom to imagine what you would like to do and what needs to happen in your life to go those inches and baby steps towards that really good feeling, perfect life. So let's make any needed changes to live creatively and at peace. An important component in going the 9 yards is the awareness of any changes we need to make. And sometimes we have to make the right decision, and sometimes we have to make a decision right. And that gave me pause for thought, and it really is true. Because sometimes a decision we have made has to be revisited. So then make the decision right. And underlying all of this, I know that a sense of integrity tells all of us when not to take shortcuts, when to go the full 9 yards and not settle for 5 yards. Even if nobody is watching, it's sort of inviting sometimes when you know nobody is watching. I dropped a can of cat food at Ingalls, and it kind of rolled, and I thought, nah. And then my little voice said, go pick it up. It's a very, very simple example, but your mind gets used to reacting to your actions, and it helps you to actually go in the right direction and do the right thing. So any changes that we need to make concerning decisions, let's make them soon. Billy Crystal said something the other night that I really liked. He said, by the time a man is old enough to watch his step, he's too old to go anywhere. So don't let this happen to you. If there are any changes that need to be made, let's make them. And not only is that good for us, but it also creates that ripple effect that affects the people around us. One of my favorite passages from the Course in Miracles says, I have a special place to fill, a role for me alone. Salvation waits until I take this part as what I choose to do. Until I make this choice, I am a slave of time and human destiny. So I choose my direction and my thoughts every day. It's a good and easy habit. And we need to accept that it's a gift to simply enjoy the experience of being alive. And so let's give it our all every day and try to go the whole 9 yards. Okay, close your eyes. Be still. Relax. I want you to imagine yourself doing your favorite creative activity. Paint, write, woodwork, work in the yard, playing in the mulch, sculpt, bake, or just dream. Whatever your idea of creative time would be, I want you to just feel it. Feel it with your feet, your hands, your mind. Feel it all the way. Let's receive a blessing for our creative activity from the Inca shaman. Follow your own footsteps. Learn from the rivers, the trees, and the rocks. Honor the Christ, the Buddha, your brothers and sisters. Honor your earth mother and the Great Spirit. Honor yourself in all creation. Look with the eyes of your soul and engage the essential by remembering who you are and always will be. And so it is.